Nice. I enjoyed the visuals too. You know, if we meet in, church services, we can see the performers, but sometimes the visuals that go along with the special music is are so comforting, interesting. So I thank you, whoever put those together. We appreciate it. I could identify with Mr. Willis is talking about the geese talking to each other. I grew up in the Midwest, and I remember migratory geese too. And I think of us as being, we're like, well, pilgrims. Like, it was a good analogy. Appreciate that. Thank you. You know, I talked to Mr. Pebworth this last week on the other side of the planet over there in France, and he's doing good, and he was telling me about in France, the churches can get together with 50 people. I guess the local population complained about not letting churches get together, and so they can have up to 50 people. I thought it was more stringent over there. And my wife Terry was telling me that it looks like things may be opening up in the near future around here too. So we'll see. Let's see. I did want to say it's fall is it's here. You know, officially it happened last Tuesday, but kind of warm today. I think it's supposed to get up around 84 over in Orinda. And I'm going to Utah. Terry and I are going to Utah, and we're expecting into the 90s. But fall is here, and the holy days are here. They're upon us, as Mr. Willis was mentioning. Are you looking forward to observing the feast this year? Are you somewhat anxious? Could be a little bit anxious. I'm becoming more comfortable with it now, with all the uncertainties that have been cleared off. How do you view this coming Feast of Tabernacles? You know, how you view something called your paradigm is exceedingly important. In fact, your worldview or your paradigm of the world largely determines how you experience your life, your personal world. It can bring you great pleasure or much discomfort. You know, there's been multiple books written on the subject, and Stephen Covey's famous Seven Habits of Highly Effective People dealt with the subject. And that book, it wasn't all about that subject, but that was one of the subjects he dealt with. And he had a sketch. Maybe some of you read the book and some of you have seen this sketch. I don't have it here with me, but it was a sketch, charcoal sketch, I think, of a pretty young lady, if you looked at it one way. But if you looked at it another way, it was an old woman, and she didn't look too good either. It was fascinating because it just depended on how you looked at the sketch. You know, many, if not the majority of people think of mainstream Christianity as irrelevant, offensive, sometimes a little bit stinky, put it bluntly. You know, in my mind, I think of oftentimes stained glass windows, organ music, things like that, you know, church pews. It's a common paradigm how Christianity is viewed. And since that's the case, I'll bet you yourself have been slow to let people know of your beliefs. We don't want them to have a negative view of us. So we avoid their paradigm, what we think they're going to view us as. That being said, the Day of Atonement is on the horizon. How do you view it? I'd be willing to bet we have a variety of views out there, but how do you view it? Is it irrelevant, but it's necessary since it's on the list of God's holy days, and we got to do it. It's one to get past. It's a time to bite the bullet and suffer, a time to endure. Yeah, sounds valid. What if I made the statement that it is a gift. It's a wonderful gift of God that can change your life. And it has much more profound meaning and practical use than you've never known before. Or you'd probably say, what kind of a gift? Well, gifts are something special to the receiver. If you get a gift, you receive it, right? And it's something special to you. What's in it for you and me? I say it's a gift of cleansing. And it's like a free shower at a beach, an analogy, where showers after swimming in salt water at a premium. And somebody, the going price is $100, and you get a free shower for free to wash off that salt water. That's right. It's a gift of cleansing. And that's what I'd like to talk about today. This message will hopefully alter your paradigm or the way you look at the Day of Atonement. This message will address how the Day of Atonement is about our spiritual condition, our internal condition, and methods by which we can improve this internal condition. We'll first be talking about internal cleanliness. What am I talking about? And then we're going to take a look at two proactive strategies to clean us inside. Title to my message is Atonement is about Cleansing. And I've got three simple points. If you're taking notes, the first idea, the first point is there is a problem. Why do I say the Day of Atonement is coming up as about cleansing? What is this cleansing? If you could turn with me to Leviticus 23, turn over to Leviticus 23. We think of it, and it is, it's a day of going without. Leviticus 23, verse 1, these are where the feasts of the Lord are listed. And it's a good scripture to memorize, you know, when you forget what are the holy days, you go here and they're all listed here. Leviticus 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are my appointed feasts of the Lord. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations, get-togethers. They are my appointed feasts. And the Day of Atonement's in here. Go down to verse 32. It's a holy convocation. It shall be to you, verse 32, a Sabbath of solemn rest. And you shall afflict yourselves. And I'm reading in the English Standard Version. That's what I'll be using today. On the ninth day of the month, beginning at evening, from evening to evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. Okay? So the word afflict is there, and it's translated chasten yourself or fast. It's used other places in the Bible in connection with fast. We understand it to be fasting. And also, if you notice, rest is commanded. You're not supposed to go to work. So what is this internal cleanliness that I'm talking about? What it's about? What I'd like to do is talk first physically, and then I'm going to go to spiritually. You know, we take showers outside, but not inside. Like, I cleaned up today, and if you probably couldn't smell me because I try to keep clean on the outside. I think you do too, dress up too. But why don't we take showers on the inside? Because we can't get inside, right? You might put a cotton bud up your nose or something like that, but for the most part, we're restricted to the outside. But do we need to keep clean inside? Through the normal processes of living, we can accumulate debris inside that can cause us problems. I think some of you have a feel for this and some may not. Most don't think this is an issue. We just go about life until something breaks. And I say it's an exceedingly important issue to keep clean inside. Why is that? As I said, the normal course of living, we tend to get clogged up inside. If you think about it, the human body, physically speaking, is porous. You know, it's got this vast pipework system inside. And it's not just one system, there's systems upon system, right? We have the lymphatic system, and it tends to flow from the bottom up, and it has a cleansing effect on us. We have the cardiovascular system, right? All these inside, we got a heart, and the blood is flowing around. It's around through pipes. We got a digestive system, top to bottom. You know, it's a big tube. Truth of the matter is, we are made up of tubes. Okay, think about blocked arteries. I mean, this is common in our days. They build up gradually, but nobody seems to notice until there's a crisis, right? Heart attack, stroke, something like that happens. There's other forms. Arthritis is another one. And same, but usually people don't become aware of these buildups because they happen so slowly. It's common knowledge that arthritis, for the most part, there's different types of this, of course, but I'm saying generically, there is acidic deposits that get deposited in our joints, and they cause us pain. There's a cause for every effect. You know, personally, I've spent a lot of time, too much time out in the midday sun many years ago. You young people, don't do it. You know, in the midday sun, avoid the midday sun. Because of that, I deal with skin cancer now. I've had a number of operations to remove my skin cancer. And I just want to point out, there's a cause for every effect. Simple truth is, people do get clogged up inside. And many problems are caused by this fact. There's examples, many examples on the physical side. But let's take a look at what most of us are more interested in on the Sabbath day, the spiritual side of things. Spiritually speaking, we get clogged up on the inside too, so to speak. Could you turn with me over to Matthew 23? We're going to take a look at what Jesus had to say about this subject. Matthew 23. Now go to verse 25. We get plugged up spiritually, but it's not seen on the outside. 23, go to verse 25. Now he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. His woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Cemeteries, I live across the street from a cemetery here in Petaluma. And, you know, when somebody dies, they put them in a small box, and then they put them in a concrete box and bury them, and they decay. Does it get any more foul than decaying bodies? That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the people that look so good. And they were the good guys. They were supposed to be the good guys of the day, right? You can just imagine one of them saying, you know, I got my doctorate in applied theology, and I'm wearing this white uniform, and I've got this prestigious job. I even have a retirement benefits and all these other benefits. People praise me when I walk by, right? I've got this pretty hat. Who are you to say that I'm dirty? I look pretty good. I look good. And they probably did on the outside. How about you and me? Now, we tend to look good on the outside. You want to look good, right? You try to look. What Jesus was referring to is get yourself ready on the inside, and what follows will be good. We won't need to suffer what I term a spiritual crisis. What do I mean by that? Could you turn with me to 1 Kings? We'll take a look at one Old Testament and then one New Testament example of a spiritual crisis, in as similar to a heart attack, but on a spiritual level. Okay, 1 Kings 21:1. Now, Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of Ahab, king of Assyria. Okay, so Ahab was the king. He had everything, and Naboth, this guy Naboth, had a vineyard. Now, after this, Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near my house, and I'll give you a better vineyard for it. Or if it seems good to you, I'll give you its value in money." Well, that sounds pretty good. You know, he's being a reasonable fellow. He just wants his neighbor's vineyard. But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. No deal." And Ahab went into his house vexed and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. For he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. We have a crisis here. And Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said, "Why is your spirit so vexed, you know, that you eat no food?" You know, and then she talked to him, and read the rest of the story. It ended up, they had Naboth killed. I mean, that's a real crisis, right? The problem was inside him, and it came out. Somebody got killed because of what was inside him. It wasn't just spiritual, and it ended up very physical. What would have happened if Ahab was spiritually clean inside? For example, if he didn't have all that covetousness, greed, his pride that he was the king. What if Ahab wasn't like that inside? It would have been a different story, wouldn't it? Would have went right over his head like water off a duck's back, so to speak. Take a look at a New Testament example. Go to chapter 12 of John. John chapter 12. We're going to read just a few verses here of a fellow I'm sure you're familiar with, Judas Iscariot. It says, "But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, 'Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?'" This is the example. Mary anointed Jesus, okay? And she had this expensive ointment, and she put it on Jesus, and she anointed him, and it's expensive. And this guy said, "Oh, you're wasting the money." But the truth of the matter is, and Jesus says, he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used it to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." What would have happened if Judas didn't have unbelief in him? He didn't believe in him, right? Covetousness, greed. Why do people steal? They want to get something. They want to get more, right? They're not satisfied. It's uncleanness. Okay. Those are two biblical examples. Let's think of a modern spiritual crisis, and what it looks like in here and now, us. We can look back, you know, thousands of years ago and what these people did and say, you know, it would have been a lot better if they didn't have that inside them. What about us? You know, what a spiritual crisis looks like. I'll give you a graphic example. And just to point this out, there is a problem. That's my first point. Where does a church split come from? We're all happy. You know, we got the same Sabbath day, same laws, we're keeping, but why do they people go out and start their own church? It's because what's inside people. It's spiritual uncleanness that goes unseen. I remember years ago, well, decades ago now, 25 years ago when I was part of the Worldwide Church of God, and I remember that split, and then they essentially changed the religion. But then since that time with the United Church of God, you know, we've had a few splits. Nice people, you know, God-fearing people, but people go off in different churches. I remember it was Mr. Bradford talked to me one time before the first split, and he said, there's something wrong. He said, he compared it to a sore that had to work for a while before it came out. And it did come out because people began thinking in a particular way. There was fault finding. Some, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And there was doubt, mistrust, uncleanness, even a root of bitterness springs up in people, right? Is it Hebrews 12:15? I'll just mention it. A rooted bitterness inside you will grow. People who leave and start another church oftentimes look good, fine people on the outside, but it may not be the case on the inside. Could you turn to James? There's a problem, but we're going to find some solutions here. James chapter 4. Go to James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. So the point I'm bringing up here is that you may not be as clean as you think you are on the inside. And that's where the problem is. So what's the solution? How do we get clean on the inside? Actually, I've got a couple of solutions for you. But just before I do, I'd like to mention Abraham, my cat. And I've shown you pictures of him. Some of you out there seen our cat. It's a good-sized cat, 20-some pounds, like a small wild cat. But he's very, very domesticated. Abraham gets groomed every morning. It's a habit with him. If I don't comb him and go along with our routine, he knows something's wrong. So he sits on my lap and I comb him just before we have morning Bible reading, my wife and Terry and I. And you know, Abraham works along with me. I'm combing him and he licks his paws. Okay, that's his part. He licks his paws. And as soon as I start combing him, he'll start licking his paws. And it seems somewhat absurd when I think about, I'm really doing the job. I'm pulling out loose hairs, right, from shedding, occasional flea. We got burrs from the backyard. I turn him upside down, right side up, but he diligently licks his paws. I think in some ways, God working in us is like that. We want to do good. We want to get better, and we work at it. He's really doing a big job, but we think sometimes we're doing more than we are. But I want to bring out, we can help. You can do something. You can do something to clean yourself up, myself. We can do things to clean ourselves up inside. God wants us to do something. Okay. So we talked some about the idea that through normal processes of living, we tend to become plugged up or quite bluntly dirty inside, both physically and spiritually. You rub into people. People rub you the wrong way and you resentments come up. Things like that. What can we do to help this cleansing process inside where we can't get to? There's plenty. Let's see. Okay, point number two. Some of you ahead of me, but I think you'll find this interesting. Fasting is a solution. I'd like to talk a bit first about the spiritual side of fasting, and then I have a few comments about the physical side. You know, the ongoing process of living, just the workaday world, we're in the world. Jesus says he didn't pray that we get taken out of the world, but we'd be protected in the world. The normal process of living causes us to build up spiritual toxins, resentment, fear, unbelief, doubt. Am I in the right church? Am I being deceived? Even plain hate. It happens to all of us. You know, don't feel like you're the only one on it. You got to, every once in a while, you have a twinge of plain hate. It'll happen every once in a while. So we're talking about cleansing us inside, cleaning out all those negative thoughts, that uncleanness, so we don't have a crisis. Spiritually speaking, with fasting, you just stop and accept it's too big for you. Things are out of hand. You can't make yourself perfect, so God must do to help you. God must do it, so you just stop, S-T-O-P, and go on a fast. You know, belief in God, belief and acceptance of Christ's sacrifice are a start. But what are the mechanisms? You know, how does fasting help clean us inside specifically? I got a couple ideas for you. And I know you're truth seekers out there, and we like to share ideas with each other. Number one, time. For one thing, time is provided in this hurried world. When you fast, I mentioned it, I'll say it again, you shouldn't work. I've tried to do both, but I avoid it now. When I go on a fast, I go on a fast. So if I'm going to work, I eat and carry on normally. I try to go that way. It works a lot better. You should have time to just sit and think. And that helps a lot. You should have time to look at yourself and measure yourself by Jesus Christ, what Jesus did and his example. You got time to read the Bible. You have time to read some church booklets that include, you know, there's many hours of research done by others that you don't have time to do. Normally, I don't have time to do all that research. You know, I'm making a living like a lot of you, and I appreciate all the research that goes into those booklets. You got time to read some booklets. You got time. Okay, what else does fasting afford us? I'm saying fasting is a gift. If God didn't tell us to do it once a year, we'd be like other people. We probably wouldn't know about fasting. Fasting takes some rough edges off. We jointly have, my daughter next door has a cat called Henry, and she brings it over for us to babysit while she goes to work, but we end up with Henry oftentimes for a long time. Okay, he's a young cat, and he's got rough edges in the morning. I think you understand what I say when I say we have to let Henry outside to chase animals, birds, bugs in the backyard for a while before he becomes livable. He'll jump in your hair if you're not, you know, he'll be on your shoulder, go up in your hair if you're not careful. It reminds me of, because he is like a teenager, you know, like a teenage boy with a lot of exuberance. It's an analogy similar to us, you know. Because we live in this world and because we have to deal with it as we do, we tend to grow quite proud. Could you turn with me to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah? Go to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. We tend to grow quite proud. And if we don't slow ourselves down with a fast now and again, we'll get into trouble. It'll take some rough edges off. Go to verse 1, Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgressions, to the house of Jacob their sin. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. And many people ostensibly do that. Why have we fasted? These people were fasting. Why have they fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. They were working and then ended up oppressing their workers when they're fasting. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. You know, if you fast and you don't take a rest, you can get irritable. In fact, I will say you probably will get irritable. When you fast, you should rest. Read the next verse too. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread a sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? And then the Lord goes on, is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? God's pointing out what is acceptable to him. And I'd like to point out, by fasting, we become more humble, more like God. And God knows that. But we can't gain points with God by fasting. Fasting is a gift to us because of the wonderful things it does for us. It isn't easy, you know, especially when you're starting a fast, but it's a gift. It isn't the process of fasting, but it's the result that's important. One more thing fasting does for us spiritually. Somehow, it just works. Turn back to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, we'll go to verse 15. We don't have to know how it works and all the ins and the outs and data. We live in a world of data, right? But it just works. Here's a biblical example. Now, this was 2 Samuel 12:15. Wrong place. 12:15. This is after Nathan told David what he's done wrong with Bathsheba, and they had a baby, right? And Nathan went to his house, and the Lord afflicted the child that was Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. He was quite traumatized when he realized what happened, what he did. On the seventh day, the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to tell him the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we say to him, the child is dead? He may do himself some harm. And then after they told him, and David knew it, and then he broke his fast. He took time, and he fasted, and he hoped in God's mercy. He didn't know what to do. How are you going to fix something like that? You know, things happen like us, you know, like that to us too. When something happens, you don't know how to fix it. Just fast. Stop everything. Fast. So fasting gives us sorely needed time. You know, it takes some of our red rough edges off, and it improves our contact with God so that good things begin to happen. And we don't have to know all the reasons, all the ins and outs of what's happening in the background. The fasting works. Okay. Just before leaving it, I'd like to mention a few physical benefits and aspects of fasting. And I'd like to point out, God doesn't give us bad things. He gives us good things. Now take clean and unclean foods, for example. You know, even though we know the spiritual concept is what we aim for, we're supposed to be special. We're supposed to do special things. We're special people to God. And set apart with special habits. We don't do what everybody else does. God given us special habits and activities. But the physical act is good for people. There's certain foods that humans haven't been designed to eat. You know, simple as that. I remember reading in a national magazine about, some people have had a connection between COVID and it's come from China. I remember reading about some years back, they had a famine in China, and this guy, in order to survive, he went into a cave which was known for its bats and shot a shotgun in the air, shot bats off the ceiling, collected them, and they cooked them, and he talked about how to cook bats. And people will eat sometimes anything if you don't know the difference, right? Before I was told, you know, like, whatever you're going to eat. But there's certain things that are not good for us to eat. You know, whenever you stop eating, your body chemistry changes. And there are many books on this. Your body begins an internal house cleaning, so to speak. You go into a state of ketosis, starts to consume its excess fats. And it eliminates toxins that have been stored in the fat, physically speaking. I think there's diets on this, and some of you are familiar with them. I think Atkins diet is one of them. They rely on a similar principle to lose weight. You eat only fatty, high protein foods, and the body starts acting in a certain way, and then it thinks that it has to live off fat, and so it eats the fat, and you lose weight. You know, there are books on this, and it's fascinating if you want to look into it. In fact, I got a couple books, and I'm going to show you a couple books. This is my show and tell. I got a couple show and tells today. There's one here. It's called Rational Fasting, and it's an old book. Rational Fasting, that's one of them. Some of these books, they may be out of print. This one's turning brown because I'm getting old, you know, and my books are getting old too. This is written by a medical doctor, Fasting as a Way of Life, by Alan Cott. I found that one's a pretty good one. Fasting as a Way of Life. I had another one. Yeah, this is by a medical doctor too, Fasting, the Ultimate Diet. And it says, remember, fasting is not starving. Okay. So there's a lot of books out here. I got a couple more. This is an old one, The Miracle Fasting by Paul Bragg. He's long gone, and I got one other here, another. Herbert Shelton, Fasting Can Save Your Life. And these books give you examples, and they give you, you know, the medical terminology, if you're interested in it. They're worthwhile. And I do want to say, they oftentimes talk about water fasting, you know, Day of Atonement is the rule is no water, no food. But if you fast just drinking water, it has wonderful health benefits. And if you get in the habit of doing that, having a fast on the Day of Atonement with food or no food or nor water, it's easy. It makes it a lot easier. Regular short fasting have many health benefits, as you can find out for yourself just trying it. I used to go on longer fasts many years ago, but I stick to short fasts now. I find regular short fasting is really good for you. And remember, Monday, neither food nor water is the teaching of the UCG. But if you have a medical condition, please seek advice. Yeah, seek advice if you've got a medical condition. You're uncertain about that. Before we leave it, I want to say the most difficult part, I think, of fasting, well, for me personally, maybe for you too, is starting the fast. It can be difficult at first, but the rewards are great. You know, if you focus on the spiritual aspects, the physical won't bother you as much. Usually when I start a fast, I'll, after I have my last meal, whatever it is, like, I'll brush my teeth and I go pray for a while. Yeah. So fasting is one proactive strategy we can use to do some internal cleansing of our spiritual as well as our physical conditions. We look for God to do for us what we can't do by ourselves. Let's take a look at another proactive strategy I'd like to share with you today for internal cleansing. And as I mentioned, the upcoming Day of Atonement is about cleansing. Point number three. Point number one was there is a problem. Point number two was fasting is a solution. And point number three is prayer is a solution. Okay. How does prayer cleanse us inside? What do I mean by that? You know, take a look at some of the uncleanness that Jesus mentioned in the scribes and the Pharisees. And remember, they were the good guys. They were supposed to be the good guys, the rulers, the hierarchy of the society. Greed, self-indulgence, hypocrisy, lawlessness. When we pray, we don't use rote. I remember years ago living in Asia and hearing people pray with rote. Like it stills in my mind like a song from your youth, how they used to sing song things. I could speak in another language here, but I won't do it. We are talking directly to God. We have an audience with God the Father through Christ's sacrifice, through our faith in that. We have an audience with God, and we actually talk to God. And it's actually quite difficult to be greedy when you pray to God. When you think about it, if you're being honest, and you might start it, then you'll be talking and you'll notice you are. Like, how many of us are going to say, pray to God, I want $100 million cash so I can go buy my own island, and I want an airplane so I can fly out there too. You know, we're praying, we use the model prayer of it. Jesus in the Church of God, UCG, you know, my fellow truth seekers out there, we use Jesus' model prayer. We ask for God's will to be done. We ask for daily bread, forgiveness, protection from the evil world. We pray for a better world, for our neighbors, for everybody. Our mind is simply on different things. It's not on self-indulgence. Okay, how else does it cleanse us? Doubt. And that's a big one, isn't it? Doubt in your life. I don't know about you, about me. I bet it's you too, I know. You're human. For one thing, you're assuming God is listening to you. So you're not doubting his existence. As you start praying, you know somebody's listening. What else? False pride. We can become so arrogant and we don't know it. You know, it can be some of that uncleanness inside and you don't know it. In prayer, we reach out to God for help. Arrogance of ignoring God's existence. People are arrogant. You know, they try to say, oh, this all just happened, you know, and evolution makes everything right. And people don't address it. People are arrogant in ignoring God's existence. What else? Ingratitude. We thank God for gifts, right? He's given us. And prayers need to be finely ground too. Thank God for little things. I thank God for the ability to speak, doing what I'm doing. It's a gift. The ability to understand the spoken word, to hear, it's a gift. They're wonderful gifts. The ability to digest food, we eat and we enjoy it. And, oh, isn't it so good? You enjoy it. And then the body takes over. We don't do anything, right? We just enjoy it. It's a gift. Be specific and completely honest in your prayers, and it'll cure you from some of that internal uncleanness of ingratitude. Yet by prayer, by the very act, it cleanses us inside. Ignorance, when we praise God for his creation, Sabbath day is a good time to do that. We're cleansed from the ignorance of how this world actually works. You know, I got one more book for my show and tell today. It's called Creator's Glory. And it shows a bird, a little plump bird there with a berry in its mouth. Quite wonderful. And on the back, it's got a butterfly. It's photographs of the wildlife of Grand Cayman Island. I'm going to show you two photos here. This is just a photo book. I could show you that. Boy, many of them, it's loaded. But I'm going to show you a young adult iguana looks for all the world like a precious Aztec sculpture inlaid with turquoise. Okay, here's an iguana. He's just sitting there watching us. I mean, we live in a wonderland to praise God for. And if you do that, you praise God in your prayer, it'll cleanse you from some uncleanness of ignorance. One more. Here are two, this is a knockout. Here are two adult snowy egrets. They display their magnificent breeding plumage. Look at these things. They're incredible. They're made like that. I mean, we just get to enjoy it. We live in a wonderland. And if you take time to look at it, there's plenty to praise God for. Another thing, if you could turn with me over to Psalm 51. Over to Psalm 51. Another thing, we should ask God to cleanse us. And you can. And you should. Psalm 51, this is the Psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. Go down to verse 7, Psalm 51, 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You're asking for God to help. He was, we should. Let me hear the joy of gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. He's petitioning God. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. God does things for us that we can't do on the inside, and it's very appropriate to ask him. So prayer by its very action has the power to cleanse us inside. You know, there's different internal cleansers that you can look into for yourself, but we've looked at two dynamite internal cleansers today. All you got to do is use them. Yes, the Day of Atonement is about cleansing. And the day is certainly a gift of God, a day to thank God for, since it's a day of internal cleansing for us, preparing us for the Feast of Tabernacles to follow. So, in conclusion, what's the takeaway from my short message? The Day of Atonement is just before the Feast of Tabernacles, and being in that location, it provides us with a physical as well as a spiritual internal rest and a cleansing to prepare us for the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember, it's Day of Atonement, it's a day of prayer too. If we didn't have it, we'd likely forget, like other people. They don't know about fasting. Like others, they don't know, but God gives it to us. It's a wonderful gift. You got to do it once a year so you don't forget. At the outset of this message, I challenge your paradigm of the Day of Atonement. And I hope this message has been helpful in viewing the Day of Atonement from a little different perspective, one of internal cleansing that we all need on a regular basis. It's a gift of God. In a nutshell, I've shared with you an idea. In the course of living, we normally, all of this is normal, we get dirty inside. And we can't clean that up with soap and water. We can't get inside. But God has given us tools to keep clean inside. because he loves us and he delights in cleaning us up inside. The Day of Atonement is about internal cleansing. It's not about doing without. We do without, but that's not the main point. Summary, there is a problem with internal cleanliness. Fasting is a powerful tool to aid us in an internal cleansing process. It's a way to work along with God rather than against him. And prayer is another powerful tool to aid us in our internal cleansing process, again, so we can work along with God rather than opposing him. So with that, hope you have a restful, remember to rest, and uplifting Day of Atonement this year. I'll pass it back over to our song leader.